Welcome to Psychedelic Breakthrough Addiction Therapies. I'm your host, Deborah Mash, and today I have a special guest with me. Our topic is ibogaine-related medical tourism. Our guest is Tom Fiegel, the CEO of Beyond Ibogaine in Cancun, Mexico. Tom, welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Mash. It is a pleasure to be with you. It's an honor to participate in your show, your podcast. Congratulations on launching this. It's so important and so exciting that you're finally, I think, in this way, sharing your experience, your wisdom, and so much hope that comes from the work you've been doing for a lot longer than I have. Deeply respect you and appreciate the opportunity to join you. Thank you.
Thank you for those kind words. The use of ibogaine has really skyrocketed in the last few years, with the numbers of clinics that have been popping up around literally the world. But most of these are more or less what I would call ibogaine retreats. They're not medically qualified facilities where ibogaine can be administered safely to patients. And this is why it was so important for us to be able to have an interview with you to really talk about this and to position ibogaine. For our listeners, ibogaine is a medication that has been around for over 100 years. It is not an approved medicine. No regulatory agency has approved the use of the drug, but it's estimated that anywhere between 10,000 to 40,000 people have taken ibogaine in different settings around the world. Tom, you formed ibogaine, and you formed an ibogaine clinic specifically. Why?
Specifically because I've been in recovery for, over two decades. I didn't know about ibogaine. I didn't know about the therapeutic use of psychedelics. I was an extremely active, participant in conventional 12-step. And I still believe that the suggestions of 12-step programs are beneficial for people like me who needed structure and needed a set of suggestions that I could follow and a community of people following them and an opportunity to build relationships and support others. I didn't realize that there was a compound that would help accelerate and deepen the experience of the transformation that took me meeting after meeting, inventory after inventory. I still support all of those types of practices. But I also think that if it didn't take me 10 plus years to get to a very clear and meaningful vision for a future and a foundation and a purpose underlying my recovery and my healing, I would have preferred to do it much more quickly if I could. Someone in my family, their life was saved as a result of being treated with ibogaine. They were prescribed Vicodin in their early 20s, couldn't get off it. A story that, is over 15 years old now. But at the time, it was more rare. Prescribed Vicodin, couldn't get off of it, really felt normal the first time they took it, and then couldn't get enough of it and ended up using heroin to stay out of withdrawals, went to all of the top rehabs in the United States, did what they said to do, and it just didn't work. They ended up, through a friend, learning about an ibogaine clinic, if you can call it that, in Mexico, and wanted desperately to change their life, to be free of that pattern of behavior. And they went, and the place was horrible. No infrastructure, people using illicit drugs in the facility. It was just basically a house with a mattress and so on. But the plant worked. The medicine worked perfectly. They had a profound transformation. And I made a promise to myself and to them that if I ever could, I would build the place they should have gone. that it would have the right infrastructure, that it would truly be the pinnacle, state-of-the-art, ibogaine-assisted treatment for people who had found the courage and that made the commitment and were feeling like it was time to leave all of that past behavior behind. The right doctors, the right infrastructure, the right nurses, the right therapeutic engagement, and really the right values that they would feel loved and respected and appreciated for the commitment they had made. And so over the last few years, that's what we've been building together. It's not just me.
The program has been in operating now for how long?
Company was formed in 2020. We started our inception, operational inception was 2021 as premium clinical facility with unparalleled treatment for trauma, for addiction, and now health and optimization. This is equally exciting for us because we really feel strongly that it's not just a treatment center. It's a little bit of resort, a little bit of retreat, a little bit of hospital, and a little bit of a personal development, mental health, or rehab environment, all put together the right proportions in a delivery model that starts before someone leaves home, intensifies upon their arrival. It goes through the preparation and treatment and acute aftercare, and then continues after they go home remotely.
When I was unable to get Ibogaine funded for research in the United States, and you may recall that the FDA gave us approval to test Ibogaine in patients who were recently abstinents from abused drugs in 1993. This is over 30 years ago that our paths now cross in advancing this molecule as a therapy for patients and for, in your case, what you just described, well-being and enhancement. And all of us have something that we need to treat and modify. When I was unable to continue with the studies in the United States, I went offshore and started a government-approved Ibogaine research and development clinic in the island of St. Kitts. And very interestingly, in parallel with what you're describing, and we had no knowledge. I mean, back then, we knew very little about the drug. We only knew what we learned from Howard Lutzoff and his entourage, who were running an underground railroad of addicts helping addicts in Europe, in the Netherlands at the time. And that was where I first saw the very first Ibogaine treatment. And seeing is believing, as you and I both share, when you see the radical transformation that patients have, the aha moment that people have when they take the Ibogaine, and how they're able to shed emotional baggage, trauma, blocking of withdrawals, not having the dope cravings, and really coming out the other side almost a remarkably new person.
Yeah,
right? You and I have seen that. We've seen the Ibogaine after.
Every day. Short of the birth of my own children, it is the most miraculous experience I've ever experienced in my life. You know, sometimes we sort of colloquially or joke, we say here at Beyond that it's like we work in a labor and delivery ward, but all the babies are grown-ups. You know, they say that Ibogaine sometimes feels like, you know, a year or more of therapy in one session. And that jump start, of course, you know better than all of us probably put together, how Ibogaine treats different parts of the brain to eliminate or mitigate any opioid withdrawals or cravings. You know, that's the beginning, not the end. That's the part that helps people have the choice as to what they're going to do next. And if I had known that there was the opportunity to compound and accelerate my willingness to grow and heal and change, I would have loved it. I would have taken full advantage of it. And so the reason that Beyond exists is I want people to be able to not only take full advantage of their decision to heal and change, but to jumpstart it, to move more quickly, more meaningfully through that early phase and build a solid foundation for their recovery.
One of my ibogaine patients many years ago described it this way. He said, ibogaine is the high dive of recovery. You're going to get out further and farther in the swimming pool. You're going to come off that diving board and you're going to hit the water, but you still need to swim.
Right. And it's so meaningful as an adult, as someone in recovery, as an entrepreneur, as an executive, as a team member, to be able to provide them that platform. We've gone through different models, but at Beyond, much of what we do is very self-motivated and self-guided therapeutic engagement. People can go at their own pace. Our job is to nurture a little glimpse of a desire to change and to heal, or to respond with great power to those that say, I'm ready, let's go. Whether they're active duty, special operations veterans, or forces, or law enforcement, or someone that is struggling with, you know, fentanyl or opioid dependency, a full range of community, but each of them has something in common, which is whatever they were doing is no longer satisfying them and they want to grow and heal and change.
I'd like to comment more on who comes to Beyond. You've been operating since right at the start of COVID. And so you come out of COVID, you've set up what you believe is a best practice, medically sound, safe ibogaine clinic, originally targeted, I believe, mostly towards addiction therapy, but you've expanded out now and your model is evolving and changing over time. Talk a little bit about the mix of patients that come to Beyond.
Absolutely. The audience or the community of guests, we call you a guest, that we focused on earliest was chemical dependency, specifically opioid use disorder, because I saw the same article that other people saw in 2021 that said for the first time there's 100,000 overdoses in history in the United States in 1 year. And I knew ibogaine worked because it saved someone that I love. And I thought, how can I not try to create a place where people could go, where they would benefit from that safely, with integrity, with the benefit of science, and down the road, potentially now, with the benefit of research that we can conduct ourselves.
And qualified medical doctors, because you've got a very sick person coming for help.
What we wanted to do is I wanted to help people who were finished living in the shadows, that we would not do anything shadowy. We would put our values, our team, our belief system, our program, and our pricing, and even our rationale for pricing right there on the web. We would have the right licenses from the federal government, the state government, the city government of Mexico. We would recruit people from leading positions in healthcare organizations, and then we would help them learn how to bring their talent and their training and their tools into psychedelic-assisted treatment.
This is so important, and I want to double down on what you're saying, because for our listeners, again, and many of them are probably listening because they want to learn more about ibogaine and where to go to take ibogaine in a safe setting. Most of the so-called pop-up ibogaine clinics, retreats, whatever we want to call them, the set and setting, are in the gray zone. What does that mean? It means that they're operating in places where they're unregulated. Often, they're operating below the radar of local regulatory agencies. And to the best of my knowledge, and certainly I keep watch over this, you're one of the only, since the approved ibogaine, government-regulated approved ibogaine clinic in St. Kitts, your program is maybe one of the very few, if there are even two or three, that are really licensed and above board and fully transparent, not only on your website, but even with your local interactions with the country and the Yucatan government.
Yeah.
Fully
legal. And the reason that's important isn't just it's good business practice. It's because by operating that way, we felt that the team felt that we didn't have to have fear as the underlying condition of our care, that anyone who comes to Beyond has the right to really understand who we are, what we do, why we do it the way we do it, and what they can expect to experience, and not worry that there's some underlying fear about what we do. We have 6 full-time licensed credentialed MDs, most of them board certified, some in intensive care, some in emergency medicine, who have a passion for great technology and a passion for research. And it makes me very happy some days when I get into our facility in the main office there at just between 6 a.m. and 7 a.m. and to find 2 doctors with white papers or research papers spread all over the table. They got multiple copies and they're bickering about, you know, how they can incorporate the insights from the work of people like you. And asking me, could you please introduce me to her so I can ask her what she meant by this article or someone else? That's how it should be done. You know, they see Ibogaine as an effective tool, and they want to be satisfied by its performance, just like the nurses. The vast majority of our nurses are ICU certified and know how to take care of people. But one of the things that's also unique about Beyond is we welcome all of our team members to do Ibogaine at Beyond so that they personally have had the experience. It helps them explore and heal and grow and change, but it also helps them feel that, of course, we believe in science. Of course, we believe in technology. It's not more important than their compassion, that they really need to empathize and be able to understand what is the experience of our guests when they're being asked to do something that is very, very unfamiliar to them, but very important, whether it's coming to Mexico. We have a video which is used for training nurses called How to Take an EKG with Love. Now, they know how to take an EKG. They've done it thousands of times. But to remember that what they're really doing is they're a partner of that patient, that they're there to cultivate that person's worthiness of that healing and belief that this mindset of worthiness is either a friend or their fear could be a barrier to their healing, to really support.
And the cardiac safety of the drug is one of the stumbling blocks for getting Ibogaine fast-tracked anywhere in the world as a regulated medicine. So the alleviation of the fear, having the compassionate care of clinicians, of doctors, nurses, and the team, from the therapist to the doctor to the owner to the people participating, and then to have the peer-to-peer interaction once you have a group of Ibogaine clients who have undergone that initiation is very powerful.
Our doctors, our nurses, our coaches, our team, they love the technology. We have the latest technology in medical evaluation and care and communication and data collection and data analysis. All of those things are here, but none of it is as important as their heart and their, when I see the doctor, like I see you know, leading doctor, bring Ibogaine in to a client and they've all been, they're ready, they're in, I tell people we have the world's sexiest ICU. You know, it's the exact same technology, exact same tools, exact same training and talent. It just looks really beautiful. Murals and salt lamps and aromatherapy and custom playlists. But at its core, it is exactly what sends a very strong signal to someone. You're safe. Your body's safe. We're taking care of you. You can relax. You can explore. You can learn what you need to learn to put all this behind you, whether it's depression, anxiety, trauma, or chemical dependency. And now that we've seen the continued documentation of the performance of Ibogaine to reduce the symptoms of PTSD and traumatic brain injury, you know, cognitive impairment, significantly improved mental acuity, significantly improved depression, significantly reduced anxiety, significantly reduced. Now that we see that, we're welcoming people, a whole additional population of people who simply want the cognitive enhancement and the benefits of neuroplasticity. They want to grow new white matter. They want to be clear. And why wait? Why wait until there's a crisis for them?
We need to break in here and talk a little bit about what that means, because our listeners may not know that one of the things about psychedelic medicines is that they turn on neuroplasticity in the brain. And what is neuroplasticity in the brain? What we mean is the brain has an intrinsic capacity to heal itself. I used to say healing the addicted brain, healing inner wounds, by the game. But it turns out that compared to other psychedelic medicines that are currently in clinical trials to become regulated medicines like MDMA and the pioneering work of Rick Doblin in MAPS, and we're getting ready to hear from the FDA about the approval of MDMA. Very exciting, a huge breakthrough in psychedelic medicines for all of us, because one boat like that lifts all ships. Next in line, Compass, psilocybin for treatment-resistant depression. We know, everyone knows about the use of ketamine also for depression. But these molecules turn on pathways in the brain. They turn on growth factors in the brain, and they turn on the ability to restore dysfunctional circuitry in the brain. Of all the psychedelic medicines, of all of them that we know about that have this property, ibogaine seems to be the most potent and to have the longest window of opening. And these are pioneering studies now that have been published not only at Johns Hopkins in animal studies by the seminal work of Goldolin, but also by the pioneering work that's coming out of Stanford University, Dr. Nolan Williamson, his investigators. So we've seen this. We knew in St. Kitts that ibogaine not only had all this wonderful ability to block withdrawals, diminish drug craving, improve depression and mood scores, alleviate anxiety. But also what the patients told us is, I feel smarter. Yes. I feel like I had mind floss going in my brain. Have you heard those?
Right. You know, my friend, a dear friend, Marcus Capone calls it a power wash, you know, from the inside of the brain. But the brain's ability to reorganize itself by forming these new neural connections, which are crucial for cognitive enhancement and, of course, recovery. Recovery is a new set of skills, and it turns out the brain is perfectly prepared to facilitate that with a massive upregulation of GDNF. You know, ibogaine's potent effect for accelerating this process and facilitating the neuron regeneration and creating these new synaptic connections. I think that we are just beginning to see the power of ibogaine in this improvement in the neural pathways and enhanced cognitive functions. And so what we have begun to do, not only for our current, so we have three programs, so chemical dependency is one, mood and trauma is the second, and health and optimization, we're incorporating this cognitive enhancement into all of them. And you will love this. The assumption is, first we start with cognitive assessment. So a whole battery of tests around memory, tasks, divided attention, various hand-eye coordination controls and challenges, strategy, et cetera, all done before they do the ibogaine. And then we begin a series of very interesting exercises that include AI-generated tools, 3D-enabled tools, everything like from marksmanship to chess, but of course virtual, to cause the brain to focus and perform new tasks. And then we test everybody at the end. Shows people that not only are they in recovery and they're not craving, they're not in withdrawals, or they're not depressed, or they're significantly reduced symptoms, but most importantly, they just got smarter. It helps them build momentum and excitement around the next 90 days or 120 days of activity.
And it probably gives the patient a sense of empowerment to know that they're firing on all cylinders. I like to quote Michael Mersinich. He is a psychologist, a neuroscientist who I've followed for many, many years. And he puts it this way, neurons that fire together, wire together. And in terms of recovery or depression or breaking out of old habits and forming new habits and better habits and getting rid of maladaptive behaviors, Ibogaine could be a catalyst to this. And I'm certain that there will be more research along these lines. And these types of real-world evidence studies, Tom, are very important, and they're important to be shared with stakeholders and regulators and the public in general. And certainly those clinicians that work in the psychiatric field in addiction medicine and also in depression and trauma, very important. Testimonial support in Kentucky, and many of us were really excited about the possibility of using funds from the opioid abatement settlement to accelerate the pace of Ibogaine therapy. Our program got derailed in Kentucky. What were your thoughts on this?
Well, I was, of course, like many of us, just tremendously excited that for what seemed like in the beginning all the right reasons, Kentucky was going to welcome the conversation about Ibogaine as a solution for the treatment of opioid use disorder, to see so many witnesses and thought leaders and researchers and champions of Ibogaine have the opportunity to speak to that commission just filled my heart with pride for them, some of them individually and personally, like co-founder Talia Eisenberg had made an impassioned presentation there about her story, and so many other people. So that was just a moment in legitimate pride and excitement, and a reminder that nobody's going to give Ibogaine a gift of political opportunity that it doesn't earn. And the work that I saw Mr. Hubbard, Brian Hubbard, do as the chairman of that opioid abatement commission, navigating that and leading all those people, was just heroic.
It was.
Heroic.
It was. Heroic is the word.
Yeah, just an incredible, you know, example of someone who's a wonderful speaker, a wonderful lawyer, a wonderful, you know, political front of the scenes, back behind the scenes navigator. But ultimately, what happened in Kentucky is a testament also to the fear that inability of certain forces to accept that their technology is not the only technology, that certain private interests or corporate interests were not going to let champions of Ibogaine and the scientists, the researchers, the PhDs, the MDs, the beneficiaries take away their gravy train or their revenue. That is still happening in this country. We know with the study of Purdue Pharma and others, we know that companies lose their moral compass and they forget what they're in business for. And they sometimes hide information. They sometimes manipulate not only doctors or distributors or patients, elected and appointed officials. And it is very real and very sad to see this particular opportunity of Ibogaine fall by the political wayside. But we should not believe that it won't reemerge. We went to Kentucky at our own expense to tell the truth, to tell the truth to the people from Kentucky who have visited Beyond. We had one gentleman with a 40-year opioid addiction be healed in one treatment.
And of course, that's what scares people who are on the opposite side of this, is the idea that you have a transformative therapy, one and done. And of course, you and I both know that the one and done stories, which we both have, are not always the total picture, that Ibogaine needs often to be repeated and you have to work a program, and you make that point. But when you talk about something that has this kind of power behind it, and the public testimonials, the personal narratives are so powerful, yes, you shake it up in a way that you would engender fear and the repercussions. And Ibogaine has certainly had this up and down. I mean, I myself, getting it through the FDA to be permitted to be tested was a huge ramp up the mountain. Collaboration with the FDA very supportive. We were up and ready to go. And then again, financial interests derailed us from going forward.
And I'm well aware of that, and I appreciate that. And it's not lost on me who I'm talking to right now about that moment in the sun, that moment of opportunity to testify on behalf of the truth related to Ibogaine and then have it derailed. Thank you for continuing to pursue this, Dr. Mass. And it's coming back. We send people to Kentucky who are from Kentucky, who are treated beyond, who are successful. Yes, of course, they need continued supportive therapeutic engagement, and they're willing to do that work. Other states are coming right behind them. What Kentucky represented was the opportunity to demonstrate the courage to welcome new technologies on behalf of citizens who need solutions. And I think we'll see other states in that particular part of the country and other parts of the United States step right up now and say, we have opioid abatement funds as well, and we're committed to research. We're committed to continuing the conversation that was started in Kentucky. And I hope Mr. Hubbard's a part of it, and you too.
On that important note, yeah. I want to say Tom Fiegel, CEO of Beyond, from your mouth to God's ear, that we will see other initiatives go forward, because fentanyl is a chemical weapon attack on our country. Families are losing their children at ridiculous rates. I've experienced that with parents who are just devastated because of the loss of their honor student child, who was a young adult getting ready to go to college, had the world in their hands, ready to take the next step, and a fentanyl overdose, made them lose their child. And the pain of that is, I can't even describe it for our listeners, because there's nothing like the loss of a child. So many families are impacted. So from your mouth to God's ear, that we're going to see a real transformation. And I want to wrap this up in a little bit in a way to say, Ibogaine, for our listeners, it is an investigational medication. You need to be very well informed. You need to talk to your doctors, and do talk to your doctors about Ibogaine. Learn about it. And it's very important for you to do your homework, buyer beware, and seek out the most experienced, legitimate, and fully above board Ibogaine clinics that are operating. And Tom, I want to give you the last word.
I can't agree with you more, to such an extent that we put on our, I think the, we can still call it this, the homepage, the main page of our website, our recommended criteria by which anyone evaluate any Ibogaine facility. Whether you come to Beyond or you go somewhere else, use this criteria. 14 points, ask them these questions, and you're much better to make an informed decision, no matter where you go, or if you go at all, or a loved one, et cetera. We're so proud of, just trying to step into that with integrity and say, hey, you say buyer beware. We're hoping that people will make the best decision they can, no matter what that decision is. I think that's an expression that, this transformative path, whether it is to end a dependency, whether it is to eliminate symptoms of PTSD, TBI, depression, anxiety, or whether it is simply to continue to seek peak performance, we hope that the exceptional clinical team of Beyond, the nurses, the adjunct therapists who lead yoga and bodywork and massage, the chefs, can be a part of that, to be partners with people to support that and to really celebrate the commitment that people are making to change. There is nothing to be ashamed of or reluctant about to make that commitment to our own well-being and our own transformation. We're so proud of the opportunity to have the opportunity to support that. And Beyond is absolutely committed to the research that we can do with you, Dr. Masta, and others to make sure that the truth is available to people who want it and need it, whether they're scientists, drug developers, therapists, doctors, nurses, or of course, clients and their families.
And you've heard it. That is the last word. We have been listening to Tom Fiegel, CEO, co-founder of Beyond in Cancun. Please do visit the website, learn more about it, learn more about Ibogaine. And for our Ibogaine tourists who have gone through the Beyond program, please share your experience. It's very important. You are the ambassadors of Ibogaine, and your narrative and your storytelling is very important. Tom, thank you so much.
Dr. Masta, thank you very much. Deep honor to be with you today.
I hope to visit you soon.
We look forward to that. Thank you.
Thank you.